Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. I am joined by the spectacular, handsome, smart, funny, very talented writer, all around amazing guy who likes dragons, maybe as much as I do, Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. I'm so glad that handsome was the second adjective that you used. I mean, my goal is to get handsome as the first adjective, but I mean, I feel like I'm knocking on the door. I'm almost there.
Well, I remember, I think last time it was the fourth, and not because it shouldn't be first. It's just because you have so many other wonderful qualities, and you did bring up that it was later in the intro. So every time, I'm going to surprise you a little bit. However, we really only have one more notch to go at this point.
Well, I'm incredibly shallow and vain, and yeah. I don't want those to be my adjectives, but I mean, I just would love handsome to be even
the
higher.
The shallow, the vain, the vapid.
Vapid. Yeah. A lot of V words.
A lot of V words. That's definitely what we would be starting with when it comes to you. We're going to actually start with, though, dragons. It is training camp. It's 49ers training camp. There is news to discuss. We got Trent Williams holding out. We got Brandon Ayuk holding in. I can't wait till there's someone holding up and holding down. There's a lot of holding going on in that building, but what they don't have is a dragon. And honestly, I think it would prove useful for both of them. They show up to camp in a dragon, they're getting whatever they want.
Yeah. My takeaway from House of the Dragon is you just don't want a dragon. You want the biggest dragon out there.
Because so I'm going to make an argument that in our lives, any dragon probably would do.
That's true, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Because once that Vhagar dragon shows up, I mean, it's over. No one's beating Vhagar. And then some of these guys have these tiny little dragons. They're like, they remind me of men I see in my neighborhood who are out walking chihuahuas.
Oh,
you know,
love them.
It's very, it's not a tough guy look when you're walking a chihuahua. And so I think when you're on one of those little teeny tiny dragons, there's no castles falling when you show up with a little, you know, dragon with a 12-foot wingspan. You need a big dragon.
BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive a 50% free bet of up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
However, here's my question. Trent Williams shows up to camp with a dragon, even with a 12-foot wingspan, that if he says Dracarys sets everything on fire, don't you think they'd still give him whatever he wanted?
I think so. I think that's going to happen no matter what. Trent Williams does not have a dragon, although he does have a private jet.
That's the same thing in today's
he's
world.
He's the only NFL player I know who has his own. I think he has a timeshare with somebody else with it. But my point is that he's going to get fined $50,000 a day for missing training camp because he's a veteran, and they can't waive that penalty.
Right.
I feel like Trent Williams probably has $50,000 like between his sofa cushions. He made $50,000 in interest while we were just talking about it. So that's not a big deal for Trent. I don't believe.
No, I don't believe it is, and I think he probably will get whatever he wants. It's Brandon Ayuk who could potentially use a dragon. Vhagar. He might want Vhagar. He may want to go that route. I'd be down with sea smoke. I'd be down with any dragon. But I have decided if I had a dragon, it would make my life significantly easier. Mainly because I would hear yes to literally everything, I think, is what I would feel like.
And traffic issues in the LA area would just go away. I mean,
all of California, really.
You're flying, first of all. And even if you're not, then you just do a little Dracaris and then that lane opens up for you real nicely.
If I show up to practice in a Dragon, do you think they'd let me park him in the player's lot?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I feel like the answer is yes.
I would wonder about forest fire issues with you and a Dragon, especially during fire season here. Very dry out there.
Well, I wouldn't Dracaris unless it felt really necessary. I wouldn't just haphazardly be Dracarising. I wouldn't be like, what do you mean I can't play in the park in the player's lot? Dracaris. But I'd threaten it. I just would use it a lot.
You have that in your bag. Yeah, I get it. I get it. No, for sure.
Are you sure? What if I start with a drum? Car? All right. I'm just saying. Are you enjoying House of the Dragon this season?
I am. You know, my big critique of House of the Dragon, I've shared this with you, is that the plot is built on these theories of mistakes and misunderstandings. Mm-hmm. And you can get away with that maybe once or twice, mm-hmm. but every major plot point is built on one, including the biggest one, which is what the Viserys, the dying king, said on his deathbed. This guy's face was falling apart. It was not making sense. And yet we're taking something that he kind of spews out in his death throes as gospel. And it's, it's what the whole plot hinges on. So it's kind of a weak thing to base your entire show on.
Yeah.
A rational person would have said, he was kind of dying. So maybe what he meant to do with his succession for his whole life should supersede what he said at the very end when he was addled, dying, and not altogether in his mind.
Especially when the only person who apparently heard him say it is his wife, whose son stood to gain the most from him changing his mind. Just throwing out there. And as we now know, spoiler alert, it was a mistake. It's not what he said. And it's too late. And I'm not into Alicent. I'm just going to throw that. I think she and Sir Criston are two of the greatest villains on television ever. I hate them.
Well, I feel like with your blonde hair, you're definitely Targaryen.
I'm kind of Targaryen. My hair's a little longer. So I'm going to spoiler alert this for everybody too. I have extensions and I decided to go longer. And it feels a little Targaryen. And when they first put the extensions in before you cut them, they're really long. And I did feel like a Targaryen, which brings me back to why I feel like I need a dragon.
I have extensions too.
And you can tell they look great. You wouldn't even, you wouldn't even know they're there. That's how good they look.
It reminds me, there's no really good bald character. I'm very excited for Kamala Harris to pick Mark Kelly, perhaps, as her running mate, because Mark Kelly's bald.
Here we go.
And I not in my lifetime, we haven't had a bald VP or president. I think Eisenhower was the last bald guy. So
that wasn't in your lifetime? I'm just kidding.
Where's leave studio button? No, that was not
really
in my lifetime.
Been a better joke for Mayoko. I'll save it. I'll use it again. Don't you
worry.
There you go. Well, let's talk some 49ers. They don't have any dragons on their team, which may be why they keep losing the Super Bowl. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe that's what they need. But they do have a pretty good quarterback. They have a pretty good wide receiving core. Sans one, but we'll see what happens there. Actually, why don't we start there? Because I don't feel like we can have a Brandon Ayuk or 49ers podcast, which I was about to say a Brandon Ayuk podcast, a 49ers podcast without talking about Brandon Ayuk. He's there. He's holding in. His back is sore. His neck is sore. I'm curious that if they come to an agreement on a contract tomorrow morning, if all of those things will just clear right up. But he is holding in. I don't blame him for doing it. I say it all the time. Players have to take care of themselves. The team always will. And in one play, their career could be over. So I don't blame him for a second. But at this point in this process, with all that's gone on, there was a lot of drama with Debo too, but it just felt a little bit different. Are they going to figure this out? Because now I'm not as sure as I once was.
Yeah, I mean, the Debo thing, Debo had shown up for the mandatory minicamp in June.
As Bosa.
all the imagery from that. Remember, he was throwing a football with Kyle Shanahan's son. I mean, he was chit-chatting with his teammates. All the imagery of that sort of undermined the rhetoric that we were hearing all throughout that offseason, which was what he wanted out. He'd had it with the 49ers. They were at loggerheads. It was unsolvable. And so by the time that training camp rolled around, even though he didn't have a contract when training camp began, it seemed like that was in the offing. It seemed like they had made ground. And I think that he officially signed on August 1. They started training camp a little later in the year that year.
Yeah.
So let's say he missed 5 days or something like that. This one, you don't get the sense that they're moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And that can change at any point. But right now, it hasn't changed. I will say, though, that and Kyle Shanahan was asked about this yesterday, that a hold in is better than a hold out. He's there. Yeah, he's with there. His guys. I watched him walk off the field yesterday with John Lynch, and presumably they chit-chatted in Lynch's office for a while. I John Lynch. He is a great. He's got a great personality. He's a great conciliator. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My point is that just being around him and the team and Debo and George Kittle and Fred Warner, the real leaders on this team, I think that that can only sort of kind of coax this along a little bit more. He's there. He can be in the team meetings, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing he's missing is the practice. So I think that that's got to be, you want him signed, you want him practicing, but if he's not going to be doing that, having him there is better than having him in Arizona or wherever he hangs out.
And I would imagine for him, since he is there, there will be a point, even if they can't come to agreement, where he will start to practice, because it's going to behoove him to be practicing. If they're not going to come to an agreement, that means he's playing on his fifth-year option and he needs to show them and everybody else that he is worth all the money that he is asking for. And the best way to do that is to be practicing. And also, he doesn't want to start the season and have not practiced and pull something, and now he's out for 3 to 5 weeks. That doesn't help him either. So I think these kind of are all things that we will keep an eye out in the coming weeks. They have their first game 2 weeks from Saturday, which is just so weird. It never ceases to amaze me. Training camp seems so long, but it's so short. They will be playing in the game 2 weeks from Saturday. Maybe not all of them, and probably not Brandon Ayuk, but it is kind of crazy how quickly it creeps up for everybody. So let's talk beyond Brandon Ayuk. Let's actually talk beyond the offense a little bit. Let's look at the defense. They got a new defensive coordinator. They're not going to have Dre Greenlaw for the beginning of the season. I've talked a lot about corner and secondary on this podcast, and I do want your thoughts on that. But first, let's talk linebacker. Who's going to move into that spot for Dre Greenlaw, who I know it's been, as the day we're recording this, it's been 1 day of practice. So I'd love a sweeping. Be great if you could just give me a sweeping prediction for everything. But who do you see as kind of jumping into that spot to start the season?
Well, I think it's going to be Devondre Campbell, who they signed in free agency. He's been lining up there throughout the spring, and he was there on Wednesday. And he actually got beaten for a pretty big play by Eric Saubert. I know you've got your Eric Saubert jersey somewhere in the background there. But Saubert,
oh, yeah, it's bedazzled. It's here and
bedazzled. I'm sure he's thrilled about that. He could end up being the number two tight end just because he's a good blocker. And the fact that he caught a pretty big catch in practice, I mean, that's just kind of gravy for the 49ers. But Campbell was in that role. The question for me is, who's the number three linebacker? And I know that player doesn't play a lot of snaps. That was the Oren Burks role last year. And, it would change from game to game how many snaps he played. But as soon as somebody got hurt, he was a starter. He was an every down player. So at least early on, while Dre Greenlaw is still out, that would be the number three guy's role. And, a guy that just continues to be talked up is D. Winters, sixth-round pick from last season. And he certainly has the skill set, the speed. Covering ground is so important to the 49ers and their linebackers. That's why Dre Greenlaw is such a great fit. He's good in coverage. He's good sideline to sideline. He's good against the run. So You would think that Dee Winters, once he really masters this defense, could have that same effect. So he's somebody that I would look out for to begin the season, the number three role. And then if Devondre Campbell falters or gets hurt, he would be in the number two role. And then Dre Greenlaw comes back, and then that number two guy becomes number three.
And I know it's only one play and one day, but Devondre Campbell, he's been very vocal about he felt like he was in the wrong spot and he wasn't utilized properly and all of that. But not having Dre Greenlaw is a really big deal. And I think we all know that. And I think most fans know that. But how much is that going to affect him that first month of the season?
I mean, you know, 49ers a couple of seasons ago thought that Dre Greenlaw was having a Pro Bowl year. Mm-hmm. He probably was. The Pro Bowl is so political, and you need to have a few good years like that before you become a Pro Bowler. But my point is that he was playing at a really high level, mm-hmm. and when he's gone, you miss him. You miss a lot of things about him. He's got a real kind of fire about him, sort of a tough guy nature. You don't want to mess with the 49ers when Dre Greenlaw is revved up. So they're going to miss him quite a bit. And I thought that last year when the 49ers were faltering, he was faltering. Mm-hmm. He was really worn down last season. He battled, we probably don't know the number of injuries, but it was an array of injuries. And when you saw him laboring, trying to remember the game where that really stood out. Oh, it was the Bengals game. That home loss to the Bengals. He was slow. He was slow to get to his feet, and so he sort of set a tone for the defense. The defense as a whole was slow. Shanahan commented on that. Mm-hmm. First time I'd ever heard him say that since he arrived in 2017. My point being, as Dre Greenlaw goes, so go the 49ers defense. So you want him back, and you want him back healthy and fast and aggressive. And that wasn't always the case last season.
And it was obviously a huge loss in the Super Bowl when he went down. It's not the only reason they lost, but it affected them. And I just think it's something to definitely keep an eye on. And we, and I don't mean necessarily you and I, but the collective we, spend so much time talking about Brock Purdy and Debo and all these offensive players and Nick Bosa. And obviously all those people are very important, but I think it's the Dre Greenlaws that when those guys go down, it really affects the team in a way that maybe isn't so obvious to the casual observer. I'm going to put it that way.
Agreed. Yes.
So therefore on the defense, they're going to have to make up for some things. Let's talk corner, because I think that becomes a very interesting position for all of the contract talk about Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers' current two starting outside corners are both in their final years of their contracts. Interesting to see if they can keep them both. It's probably going to be difficult. Maybe it's going to be a little bit of a Hunger Games back there to see if Charvarius Ward or Diamador Lenore is the one that comes out that they're able to keep. But they bring in Isaac Yiodom. And sounds like he had a good Wednesday. I was not at that practice, but it sounds like he had a good Wednesday practice. We're recording this Thursday, guys. So just keep in mind if something happens at the Thursday practice, that's why it hasn't come up. But he had a good Wednesday practice. They brought him in as someone who potentially could be that outside guy, and they could move Lenore in, maybe have Renardo Green as some depth there. I know they're still excited about Darrell Luter, but that cornerback room becomes very interesting. I think beyond the first two that I mentioned, I think that room ends up looking very different in September than it did last year.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that Yiodom is going to be a free agent as well.
Oh, yes, this is true.
I think that the 49ers would love one of their younger guys, and that's really between Luter and Renardo Green, the number two pick, to make a move this season. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be before week one, but I think that they'd love reassurance that if they lost Charvarius Ward and kept Diamador Lenore, for example, they would have some depth back there, some potential. But yeah, you're right about Yiodom. I mean, he was the number three cornerback throughout the spring. Mm-hmm. Actually, he was the number two cornerback for a big chunk of it because Ward wasn't practicing. Mm-hmm. And he was in that same spot on Wednesday. The first snap in 11-on-11, Lenore and Ward were the outside cornerbacks. They were in their base defense. Mm-hmm. And then on second down, they moved to nickel. Lenore moved to the nickel cornerback spot. Yedem came off the sideline and he played on the outside, which, I mean, if you're making a guess for the Jets game in September, that's probably going to be mm-hmm. what it is. Mm-hmm. I think the 49ers would love it if Renardo Green kind of changes that dynamic. If he plays mm-hmm. so well this summer that he becomes the nickel and it allows D'Amador Lenore just to be an outside cornerback. Mm-hmm. So he's not having to switch back and forth. That might be asking too much. I mean, I've always felt like the nickel job really belongs to a veteran just because there's so much happening in there. You mm-hmm. have to really know the defense. Remember, that was why Kaywan Williams was so effective there. He mm-hmm. was smart. He was sharp. He knew all the coverages. He communicated well with the safeties and everybody else. That's a tough ask for a rookie. I'm not saying he can't do it. Mm-hmm. I think they like him there in the future. The question is how quickly he can kind of accomplish that. But those are the two scenarios. I mean, so, I mean, you could even have, you know, let's just say Yedem plays really well. Mm-hmm. He could be the permanent outside guy. Mm-hmm. And Lenore can come in on nickel. He'd end up playing 75% of the snaps this season. You want your best three out there. And so I think it's going to be basically the same group from last year, whereas instead of Ambry Thomas as the number three, you've got Isaac Yedem as the number three.
And with Jarrell Luter, I mean, this is somebody they were super excited about going into the season. Obviously, he started injured last year. He started on the PUP list. What do you expect to see from him? He's someone I'm keeping an eye on. I'm going to do a story on this later in training camp. So spoiler alert, everybody look out for it. And don't steal it, Matt Barrows. But I'm going to do something on it later in training camp. But kind of what is the expectation from him? How much do you think what happened in the Super Bowl, though not his fault, he was obviously a big part of it, how much do you think that affects him?
I mean, I don't think it should. I know that fans hear that name and that's what they think of. Mm-hmm. But to me, it was just a random play and mm-hmm. maybe not even his fault. I mean, he's got to be told. He can't see the ball. He's doing something else that whole time. So I just think that as far as playoff goats go, the 49ers have a few over the years. But mm-hmm. boy, I would hate it. I would hate it if Jarrell Luter were included in that.
I don't think he will be ultimately.
I don't think so either. But who knows? Fans are kind of odd that way. You know, as far as playing cornerback, you know, he had a good spring last year. And then the mm-hmm. 49ers were very excited about him when training camp started. And he got hurt immediately and was hurt for half the season. And then when he came back, really wasn't a factor at cornerback. He just mainly played special teams. So, mm-hmm. The very early returns on him were good. And the 49ers feel like they've got somebody in him. He just needs to be on the field. He needs to play in the preseason. He needs to basically redo his rookie season. You know, they think that they've got something with him. He's smart. He's charismatic. People like him. He's got a similar physique to Charvarius Ward. Mm-hmm. You know, tall, long-armed, can play press coverage. Everything on paper looks good. He has to go out there and do it.
Is there any chance they can keep both Ward and Lenore?
I don't think so. I mean, the Jaguars just – say again?
I said I don't either.
Yeah, and the Jaguars just – I can't remember the guy's name, but they just extended a cornerback, mm-hmm. and it's a huge number. And, you know, this is a guy who is basically the same age as D'Amador Lenore, and mm-hmm. I never heard of him. But apparently yeah. he's good, and that's what you pay a good young cornerback. So that's Lenore's number.
Right.
And Charvarius Ward, I think, is, you know, top five cornerback in the league, and he's yeah. still in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
And he's ascending. And I think that's the key about Charvarius Ward, is that he's gotten better every year he's been in the league, including yeah. last year. So, I mean, his ascent is still occurring. And people are going to see that. Certainly his agent is going to note that when he negotiates his next contract. So I would say Lenore is more likely than Ward to be re-signed. But, I mean, neither of those guys is going to be cheap at all.
No, they're not.
I do wonder, I don't think this would happen, but a potential scenario is that they do play Lenore at nickel cornerback this year. And nickel cornerbacks don't make as much on the open market as outside cornerbacks. Now, I think another team would see Lenore and say, well, he played a lot of outside cornerback. We're going to treat him as such. But just something to keep an eye on. I'm sure Lenore and his agent wouldn't love it if he were restricted to nickel snaps this year.
I was thinking about that when we talked about it. And you said, you know, you would still him being playing 75% of the snaps. But I was thinking about that contract year. That stuff, Jimmy Ward saw that when they moved him from safety to nickel, and he saw, you know, but that changed his market. So things to keep an eye on. All right, Barrows, you are a very busy man, so I'm going to let you go soon. But please first tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm at Matt Barrows on Twitter, and that's about it. I don't do Facebook. I don't do, as you noted, I'm from the Eisenhower era, so all this kind of newfangled social media stuff just dazzles me, and I can't really keep up with it all.
I'm going to make you a TikToker this season. That's my goal. Make Matt Barrows a TikTok star by the end of the season. You can also, of course, find all of his incredible stories at The Athletic. You have a podcast with the great Tim Kawakami. So you can find all of that there. You guys, you can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN. On Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. Head over to FGSN.com for all of our content. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye all.